What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk.
What up, everybody? JC Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. I am sitting here struggling with the cold that will never go away, but we're going to power through it. Mitch and Pete are on the line. What's up, fellas?
What's up, JP? That was the most subdued. What up, everybody? All season.
What up, everybody?
Dude, I can't sleep. I can't eat. This cold is just kicking my butt, man. All right, it's a game day as the holiday schedule and then the early game week, you know, because they're playing on, it's a short week, playing on a Saturday. Podcast schedule got a little funky, so we're not able to record this in the same room. This is Mitch and I. You guys are headed to the airport right now, right?
Yeah, we're driving to the airport on our way to Nashville.
Nashville, Tennessee. Let's be honest, the Skins have a playoff game, and we talked about this the other day, but it's pretty remarkable considering how bad everything looked, especially at like halftime of that Giants game, that here we are talking about, hey, if they can win and Kirk loses, you know what I mean? All these crazy scenarios. I've said it before. It says something about the job Jay Gruden does to keep this team focused, I think.
I think it also says, damn it, if they could have kind of kept it together and knocked on a four-game winning streak, where could they be today? But, yeah, all things considered with the quarterback injuries, the fact that they're still relevant and have a chance to sneak in is exciting. And it looked like for a second this trip to Nashville is going to be a little bit meh, but we're fired up. At least in the Tishwood car, we're fired up.
Can we, is Pete turning into a wet blanket, bringing up the four-game losing streak immediately?
Well, but he's also right, dude. Here's that. That comment made me think about something, and we're doing this off the top of our head, so forgive us if we missed something. What do we think is more disappointing for this team? The four-game losing streak that was largely a product of losing two quarterbacks, and let's, you know, you got to include poor defensive performances, but, like, the plan was never for Alex and Colt to go down in the span of three games. But what's more disappointing, the four-game losing streak or dropping those games early on to the Colts or the Falcons at home? I mean, really getting your butt kicked by the Falcons at home. What, like, is the more disappointing result when this team was firing on all cylinders to have those stinker performances, or the four-game losing streak once everything kind of fell apart?
I mean, as you look back on it, probably the stinker performances. I mean, they started off 6-3, and you bring up two games that potentially they could have won. I mean, even as they were playing, they didn't necessarily feel like an 8-1 team, nonetheless a 6-3 team. But once all those quarterback injuries started happening, I mean, to lose those games, I don't want to say it's expected, but it's certainly understandable. To lose that game to the Falcons, you know, you guys have brought up the Colts game kind of as a stinker along the way a few times. And if you look at the Colts now, it's not really much of a stinker. I mean,
yeah,
that's
but
a good
here's what I would say.
They
are a good football team, but the Skins came out completely flat. That to me, of all the games this season, was the one where they weren't ready to play an opening kick. And that's what I think makes that such a bad loss. Not that the Colts are a bad team. The Colts have a really good defense. They have Andrew Luck. But, you know, the Texans lost, I think, is almost a good loss. You lost Alex Smith. You competed till the end. Colt played pretty well when he came in. The Texans are a damn good football team. I think easily the most, the worst loss of the season, the most embarrassing loss, whatever. I mean, there's the Saints early, but the Giants late to me at home. The Saints, I mean, you ran into a wagon that day. Drew Brees is breaking a record. The Superdome's going nuts. The things just didn't go your way. The Giants at home without Odell Beckham to give up 40 straight, that's an embarrassment. I think that's the worst loss of the year, but I'm not sure that it's more important than if they hadn't notched another win early on when they had Alex and they had the defense playing well. Pete, you're the king of the losses now, buddy. What do you think?
Real quick, I think the Falcons was the worst loss. Just the way that they picked the Redskins defense apart and kind of embarrassed them. But go ahead, Pete. Tell us about the bad losses.
King of the losses and king of the mutts. I would say that the early season losses hurt more because, I mean, the Giants went the most embarrassing, but you went to Dallas on a short week. They never do well in that situation. And then you went to Philly on Monday night with your backup, and he broke his leg. That was an unwinnable game at that point. So four-game losing streak, annoying. Early season losses, though, are where you really kick yourself because you could use another one of those in the bank right now.
I mean, hell, imagine if they were 8-6 instead of 7-7 right now. It's a very different conversation. But I think it's also worthwhile to point out that they barely, when they beat the Cowboys at home, that was a pretty narrow win. It required Rich Chandler pushing a field goal into a goalpost. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Those costs.
8-6, they're playing for the division as opposed to the
driver's seat, dude. Yeah.
Absolutely. Right. It's a different ball. That's a totally different ball game. But
well, the driver's seat
now,
like,
still 2 games out.
Right. If they were 8-6, let's be clear, though. Let's not celebrate 8-6 too much. That would be the driver's seat of, like, an 88 Corolla. Like, it's not like you're balling. You know, like, balling is the Saints right now, trying to lock up home field advantage. That's the real driver.
Balling is if you're in the driver's seat of an Orsman Automotive in Virginia vehicle.
You're damn right, which I don't know if we've thanked them yet, so let's do that. Our good friends, yeah. Orsman Automotive of Virginia, that's who we ride with. That's how you can be balling, according to Pete. So go buy a car from our good friends. They sell everything. All right, let's do this. I was at the park yesterday. Mitch was at the park yesterday. People that were not that well, at least that we didn't see at the park, include Josh Doctson and Vernon Davis. Jay Gruden has already ruled out Jordan Reed for the Titans game. I think we're looking at, so Doctson's dealing with back spasms. Vernon is in the concussion protocol. Are we looking at the Jeremy Sprinkle game, fellas?
It's looking like it. Jeremy Sprinkle and Darvin Kidzie.
Right. Darvin Kidzie's now on the active roster. Our good listener, good friend, Resh Manuel's all fired up for the Darvin Kidzie era. You got to figure that might have been Pete Cobbs if he was still around, but he's not. Pete, I want to make sure I credit you correctly, that because I know you've broken some important Jeremy Sprinkle news in your career. So I want to turn it over to you, and I'm kind of being serious here. I think Johnson to Sprinkle could be a thing. They connected last week. Johnson's the type of quarterback that I think tries to get the ball out quick. Often that will mean going to your tight end. Let's get Pete Haley, the official Jeremy Sprinkle correspondent of the Redskins Talk podcast, on the case.
Yeah, before Sunday, Jeremy Sprinkle had 2 career catches, and after Sunday, he had 5. So Josh Johnson to Jeremy Sprinkle, there's some sort of comfort level there. If Josh Doctson misses, that's going to hurt, but he's kind of been an enigma that no quarterback's been able to figure out, so it's not like Johnson to Doctson is some magical chemistry thing that they're going to be missing out on. He had 1 target last week, was a total non-factor. So Sprinkle kind of short and quick, and then you have Crowder going over the middle. Those are kind of Johnson's choices, and of course we know the running game is going to be important. So Sprinkle's okay, that's fine. I'm Matt Flanagan is also going to be involved. He has some very questionable hands. I don't think you really want to throw it to him too often. So
his role tight end is being giving AP a lead blocker, and I think that worked pretty well in Jacksonville.
If you end up in a situation where Matt Flanagan is catching passes for you, you're in a tough spot.
Yeah, but Sprinkle showed he could get it done, and then I talked to Flanagan real quick in the locker room on Wednesday, just because I'm obsessed with numbers, and I asked him. He's normally 41, and he was wearing 88 during the game, so I was like, yeah, did you like the switch to 88? And he's like, yeah, when you line up in 41, people are like, who the F is this guy? And then he actually used the F word, so it's kind of funny. So look for Flanagan in the 88 car, but he's going to be blocking. Sprinkle's going to be catching.
Mitch, I don't know if you're prepared to do this, but I think we give Pete a promotion to not just the official Jeremy Sprinkle correspondent. He might be the official third and below on the tight end depth chart correspondent. What do you think?
I was going to say he's the ambassador to the backup tight end.
Yo, that's the best title I've ever been given.
Pete, you, congratulations, buddy.
We all know how much Pete loves tight ends. It's good.
Oh, boy. I think it wouldn't be a regular week if we didn't bring up offensive line changes. Ty and Techie didn't practice all week, and I'm having a hard time believing he's playing Saturday in Tennessee. The kind of good news, which we talked about the other day, is that it appears Tony Bergstrom should be back. But when we were watching the other day, it was what looked to be the starting offensive line group at practice was, and Mitch, I think you were standing there with me when we did this. I think you're looking at Morgan Moses, Bergstrom, Rouye, Kieran, Trent Williams. So,
yep.
Get your popcorn ready, I suppose.
I'll tell you what, playing guard next to Trent Williams, though, helps so much. Not just in
sure.
how good Trent is at collapsing players, but also in his communication and leadership on that side of the ball. We've seen left guards come and go, and you're going to have an opportunity to play well when you're playing next to the best left tackle in football.
Yeah, and you know what? Who we don't praise enough, and at this point we can almost just praise him for durability. Sixth-round pick Chase Rouye. I mean, how many games has he missed in 2 years? Maybe two or three? Maybe he missed a few more last year. I don't know. But on a line where nobody can stay healthy, he deserves some credit, I think. He plays pretty well. So that's me caping for Chase Rouye right there. You know,
already
to...
Early in the season, I gave Chase Rouye a few game balls for the work that he was doing at center, not just in the blocking, but getting guys aligned correctly and being kind of the man in charge of the front five. And he's done a beyond admirable job this year, probably better than even Bill Callahan expected. So he's been the stalwart up there.
And one thing, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't remember any bad like shotgun snaps or exchanges, and that's not easy to do, period. And it's especially not easy to do when you got different quarterbacks all the time. So the fact that he's able to kind of keep that rhythm going too is pretty useful and underrated.
It's good that Pete chimed in there, because you know Mitch giving away game balls to O linemen is kind of like me giving compliments to 7-Eleven employees. Like, I'm already fond of the position. All right, so I don't know that there are any major defensive injuries we need to worry about. Am I missing something, Pete? Chime in if you want. I mean, there are a million guys on the injury report, but as far as who I expect to not play, maybe Ryan Anderson, who hasn't played in the last two games, you know, he's questionable. But I'm not sure if there's anybody else that really stands out.
We talked about the DB injuries on Wednesday. We kind of know the group going in, so at this point it's just preparing for what the hell that could look like, but it's not like any surprises will really happen
now. I mean, what will that look like, dude? You're talking about, I think they got to move Moreau outside.
That wasn't at me, by the way.
I got a dog barking. You got somebody honking at you. This is end-of-season podcasting at its best here. So I'm asking seriously, like, who's the third corner?
Greg Stroman, Donald Alexander. They'll probably, kind of like they were doing with Danny Johnson and Greg Stroman, kind of play one and see if they have the hot hand. If they have the hot hand, stay with them. If not, flip around to the other.
Yeah, like I could see Stroman starting off in the slot, but if that goes bad, maybe you bump Moreau inside and have Adonis play on the outside, because I don't know if he's ready for slot duty yet. But, yeah, could be one of those on-the-fly things. Who's got the hot hand, or at least, like, the lukewarm hand, or, like, the not-frozen hand, at least.
You think we're going to see Josh Norman travel with Corey Davis this weekend? Tomorrow?
Is Corey Davis
or you think they're
good, honestly?
He's their best receiver by far in both targets, receptions, yards, and touchdowns. So,
well, then maybe they should do it. I don't know that they will, but maybe they should. You know, if this situation is as bad as it appears at corner.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's something for when we get to how the game's going to unfold. But
all right. Well, let's thank Orsman again real quick, especially our boy Biagi. Orsman, Chevy, Buick, GMC of Alexandria. Go get a car from them. I got a car from them. They're great.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
So let's get down to it. Over-unders, I think we agreed last week we are not going to do passing yards for Josh Johnson. We're going to do total yards. I think total yardage for Josh Johnson should be set at 200 yards. What do you guys think?
I think that's a good number.
He finished right around there. He had 150 through the air and then another, I think, 50 on the ground. And the thing is, if Vernon had caught that pass, he probably would have gone way over our total for him. So if we're setting it at 200, I'm going under. I am very much rooting for Josh Johnson, but this Titans defense is no joke. And unlike the Jaguars, the Titans will be motivated and have been motivated all year.
Yeah, I think the Titans D is going to be geared up for him. But I think he's going to get over. I think he's going to have a pretty similar day, about $150, $175 through the air. I think they're going to be more prepared for him on the ground, so it might be looking more like 25 to 35 yards or so on the ground. So I'm going to go slightly over.
That's tough because we talked about Vernon's drop, but then he also had the completion of Jameson for 30-plus yards. That was totally lucky. So it evens out there. I can see him going a little higher pass yards, a little lower rush yards, ending up right around 200. Bethesda knows it's a great number, but I will go very slightly over on 200.
I am on the other side, gentlemen. I'm happily on the other side. We haven't talked about him yet. I think Charlie Casserly said this when we had him on 100 the other day. I think Crowder is the most important piece for this Redskins offense. As Charlie explained it, the Titans just lost their slot corner, Logan, and nobody can cover Crowder, and you got to really, especially with Jordan Reed out, I think Jay Gruden would be wise to game plan to get Jameson the football early, often, let him make plays. You saw in the Giants game, he was able to connect with Johnson on a big hitter. Most of that was just Crowder doing the work, but I think this could be a big crowd. If the Redskins win, I think it's because Crowder has a very good game. All right, let's go to AP rush yards. Last week we set it at 50. He finished with 51. What do you guys think we should set it at this week? I think maybe we're talking 60 yards.
I think it's about the same number. I mean, I don't think it's much different.
Yeah, 55, 60.
I like 55. That sounds good. Go ahead, Pete. You said it.
Okay, so I had Johnson slightly over. They're going to run the ball a lot, but they're kind of talking about this Thompson-Marshall set a good amount. That as a change of pace. Adrian has a lot left, it looks like, but does his offensive line have enough to give him? I'm going to say slightly over, 62.
Mitchell?
Wow. It's funny. The whole time you're talking under, and that's what I wanted to take, and I didn't want you to take it because I was going to go opposite whatever you did, no matter what. But I think we're gonna see a lot more speed sets this week. I think they're gonna try and get some extra speed on the field. The Titans OLBs, at least one of them, Redskins know well, Brian Arakpo, and they're gonna be able to take advantage of some of his lack of foot speed. So I think we're gonna see some more Chris Thompson, and because of that, I am going to go under 55 yards for Adrian Peterson.
I'm with Mitch. I think, again, I'm going to what Casserly said. The way to win this game is getting outside the box in the run game. I think that means Chris Thompson. We all know that Jay Gruden has a high affinity for Byron Marshall. I think those guys are going to get opportunities. I'm going under for AP as well. I don't think he gets to 1,000 yards until week 17 against the Eagles at home, which honestly I think will be a pretty nice moment. You know, there hasn't been a lot of home crowd pleasantries for the home team to really get excited about and cheer. Outside, I mean, that Cowboys win was pretty awesome for the home crowd. But outside of that, I'm trying to think, you know, they beat the Panthers, which was exciting. But, you know, there's been some tough moments at home this season. I think rooting, you know, AP, if my numbers hold, I bet AP breaks the 1,000-yard mark late in the first half against the Eagles. I would think the Skins throw that up on the Jumbotron, and he gets a nice standing ovation. All right, so our final one, we did this last week, and I thought it was pretty good. The path for the Redskins to win games is going to be ugly and low-scoring. So in that vein, we did the game total last week against the Jags, and we're going to do that again. Mitchell, your people in the desert tell you the total is what?
37.5.
All right, which way are you going?
A little bit higher than last week. I think this game's going to be...
Last week was 36?
Yeah. Point in the hook higher. I'm going to go... I feel like, again, this is a 17-16 type game, so I guess that means I'm going to be M-Tunder.
All right, Pete, go ahead.
I promise I'm not doing this to piss Mitch off. I'm going to go under as well, because while I have Peterson and Johnson kind of going over their totals, it's not like those totals are particularly high. I think the Titans offense
going over, dude.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying while Johnson and Peterson both going over, those aren't like explosive numbers that would indicate high scoring. So both of them are over, but I still see the score coming in under.
Yeah, I have. I'm under on everything, so I'm under on the score. I don't see the Skins team scoring a bunch, and I don't see the Titans scoring a bunch either. Honestly, I think defensively this is actually a pretty good matchup. I'm going to go straight into how the game unfolds for me, because my cold is starting to attack me again. I think this is the type of matchup the Skins were able to win early in the season. They've got an opponent that doesn't throw the ball very well. I know Mitch is rightfully worried about Corey Davis, but I think if they can slow down Derrick Henry, which he's been on an outrageous pace the last two games, you know, he's gone over 400 yards, six TDs in the last two games. But for 12 games, he was a pretty meh running back. He was a 60 yards and maybe a touchdown guy. So if things return to the mean in the Titans run game and the Skins are able to play a little bit of defense, I think they can hold the Titans under 20. And I just don't know that the Skins can score. The Jags offense was terrible. The Titans offense is not terrible. It's better. And I said it for a while. I thought the win for the Redskins of the remaining schedule was that Jacksonville game. I hope that I'm wrong, but I don't see this one as a win. I think it's I think it's closer than certainly Vegas is expecting, but I think 17-10 final, something like that, Titans win.
I agree with you on the Derrick Henry point. I mean, yes, he's on an absolute heater right now, but I'm not expecting to carry into a third game. He's mostly an average guy, and I also think all of his Alabama teammates in D.C. are kind of gearing up for him and will be very focused on stopping him. The Redskins' patchwork secondary is what's giving me concern. I could see that breaking down on a play where Mariota escapes and finds somebody as Greg Stroman's trailing them for a big gainer. And Josh Johnson last week didn't turn the ball over. That was very important, but I could see maybe a key turnover happening or a couple key turnovers because, you know, how can you expect a fourth-string quarterback to be so secure with the ball a couple weeks in a row? So in the end, I do see the Titans winning. Ugly, low scoring, but kind of ending the Redskins' dreams in Nashville on Saturday night.
Emo Pete.
Yeah, give me the emo.
Emo Pete.
I think the Redskins are going to shut down this Titans offense. You mentioned that they are certainly better than Jacksonville's, but by no means are they good. And I think they're going to be able to stuff the box and slow down Derrick Henry and Deion Lewis out of the backfield. And if you put Josh Norman on Corey Davis, who I don't even know that I'm necessarily concerned about him, just the amount of the passing attack that he eats up for the Titans makes him a player you have to account for. And I think
you.
If
you can slow him down, you're slowing the whole thing down, kind of what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right?
And if you throw Josh on him and you can kind of shut him down, the rest of the Redskins secondary is kind of questionable, but the rest of the Titans wide receivers are kind of questionable too. So
right. You're
kind of in a situation where I don't see the Titans being able to break out a lot of offense. And you guys are both saying 17 points, so it's not like you're calling for a lot of offense.
Yeah.
But I think there's going to be settling for a lot of field goals. I think it's going to be, you know, like last week, kind of an ugly, low-scoring game. You know, you're going to see the Redskins kind of grind the game, you know, as they were doing early in the year. The one thing I'm looking for is DJ Swearinger hasn't had a turnover, hasn't had his hands on the ball in 4 or 5 weeks now. I think we see that change. I think Mariota gives them a gift, and I think the Redskins come out on top. I think it's a tight one. I think it's ugly. I think it's low scoring. But like I said, 17-16, I think the Redskins come out on top.
Bullish Mitch. I like it. I tell you what, if they win, it's going to be a wild next week between Colt and, you know, what will amount to a kind of a win-and-in playoff game for either the Skins or the Eagles or somebody. You know, I mean, there's going to be – if they win, it's going to be wild. Scale of 1 to 10 on the wild scale if they win next week.
I mean, it's a solid 9, only because you got to leave the 10 for when they for a playoff game or a playoff week.
Well, I was going to say 9 because if everybody else wins, you know, like they're not in charge. Like if Minnesota wins, then it's still pretty tough. That's all I was going to say. But I'm at 9, too. They got to win first.
They got to win, and we talk
like
about
four,
it week to
probably.
Week.
Emo Pete.
I'm at an 8, just a slightly bit behind you guys, just because, yeah, they're not totally in control, and it's not like they're coming down the stretch burning up. They've only won one game. But I'll still be very hyped, and the city should be too, but an 8 for me. Emo Pete at 8.
You know, I thought we retired the wet blanket and Sandler. Pete's getting it today.
I'll be the damn
so
blanket.
He's like the most excited, happy kid, and we turn the microphones on for the podcast, and he's just like he's Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. It's just everything's wrong. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. If anybody has Photoshop, put Pete's picture on Eeyore, and I will retweet the hell out of that.
I'm sure we'll be seeing that soon.
All right, we got to go. Thanks, boys. Thanks, everybody, for listening. You will hear from us after this game, and who knows what's going to happen? That's the beauty of the NFL, and certainly with this Redskins team. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
Sorry,
the
Niner.
Yeah, sorry about that. But
if you're going to be like this, I'm not going to drive you to the airport anymore.
I'm good.
Just 2 minutes ago, we had Emo Pete, so I'm glad you're on the phone, JP.
The hell are you Emo about now? Fish?
If I know.
I'm not Emo. And it was about the hot chicken. I don't want it to burn my tongue, so I got all sad and weird about chicken.
Yo, it's not temperature hot, you idiot. It's spicy.
Yeah, I don't want it to burn my mouth with spice.
You're such a dummy.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.